This morning I'll be reading Matthew 7, 21 through 29. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, then Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes.
Let the church say amen. Amen. Very, very happy to have each and every one of you this morning with us. We have guests, and that's always a thrill, and that's an honor. And I know I speak for the elders of this church when I say that if you're visiting with us this morning, we are extremely glad that you're here. Am I right, Bobby? And so we are honored that there are people who love the Lord, who want to do what's right. And the passage read in your hearing just a moment ago by a very, very fine young man couldn't be more appropriate, because I'm aware of the fact there are a lot of folks that claim to love the Lord. But in that day that Jesus described, there were those that loved the Lord, but they'd been tricked. And I've told folks that I worked in the criminal justice system for 26 years. I got lied to for a living. I dealt with people who not only committed the crime, but they saw it as their job to try to disguise that or hide that or lie about it. And believe you me, the technology that's available, there's videos everywhere. And I had grown men say, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. And I'd say, well, okay, fine, we'll set up trial. We got it on video. Oh, never mind, I'll plead guilty. I thought you said you didn't do it. I didn't know you had a video. And that seems to be the mindset of our culture. And that is lie, 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 until you're backed into a corner and can't get out of it. Now, the other side of that coin is one of the saddest things I know of is for somebody that is genuine, somebody that's caring, somebody that honestly wants what's best, and to have been duped, to have been deceived, to have been lied to. It's the saddest sight I know of. And believe it or not, that's the very thing that Jesus is talking about if you listened closely to that fine young man reading the Word of God. That's the very thing Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 7. Because he starts off the context of this parable in verse 21, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord. Now stop right there. The impact of that, the implication of that, is that there were people who recognized the deity of Christ. They recognized him as the Almighty. They recognized him as the anointed of God. And they acknowledged him verbally so that other people could hear. They called him Lord. These were people that were followers of Jesus. And they had done some good things. Don't let that slip by. The text is very clear. They had done some good things. And I'm aware of the fact that in the 21st century, some of us can think that doing our good things is enough to get us to glory. Well, I'm here. I attend. I sang. I put money. I participated. And tragically, Jesus gives a picture of that in so many other places. He tells a parable about wheat and tares that grow together. But then there's a reckoning. There's a judgment. And all of these parables kind of point to the same thing, and I say it over and over and over and over. And that is, Christianity is not just something you do. It's who you are. It's not just going through the motions of living a Christian, being a Christian, living a Christian life. And then in that context, okay, Jesus tells a parable about two builders. And this is not the only time in Scripture when Jesus tells parables, one of my teachers at Lipscomb used to say, uses synonymous parallelism. Two groups. He talks about the wise and the foolish virgins. He talks about two ways to please, and then two gates, the straight and the narrow. He talks about the two types of animals, sheep and goats. And all through his ministry, he lays these things out in a parallel fashion. Okay. In this place, he talks about two men who build houses. Two men that build a house that in many cases are very, very similar. And yet even as, Amy, I dare say you taught this a time or two, thousand, with these little children. That's the analogy. One builder, the Bible says, was wise, and the Bible says the other builder was foolish. Now stop and think about this analogy for just a moment, and you know and I know the outcome of the story, that the foolish builder did not take into account any contentions, any potential catastrophe that might happen. Quite probably they used the same blueprint, but the foolish builder kind of interjected into the blueprint and said, well, I want to put in there what I like. I want to put in there what I believe. I want to put in there what makes me happy. And that's the way he built his house. And the tragedy of this story, the obvious truth is just so blatant, is that he did not have any consideration for the foundation. And I say again, so many people in this life have no consideration about the building of life. God has given us the privilege and yet the obligation of building our life. And that's what made my work in juvenile court so frustrating for nearly 20 years. I became more and more and more about juveniles because they did not seem to grasp or apprehend the seriousness, the consequences of the decisions that they were making even as teenagers. And some of us grew up with people who just kind of explained it in ways, oh, well, he's just going up Fool's Hill. You ever hear that one? Yeah, he's just climbing Fool's Hill. Everything's going to be all right. He'll turn out well one day. And they found out tragically it did not. That's why we paid so much attention to the friends with whom our kids associate. I've told you before, we used to put a no contact provision, a court order having to tell kids, you cannot associate with this person. Because the people with whom you associate, spiritually now, the people with whom you associate are going to be people that you're going to date, and they're going to be the people you marry. And we wonder why the church is dwindling in number. And it's because of decisions we make generationally, and it reeks in the consequences that they have to bear in their philosophy, in their lifestyle. And over and over and over and over, the Bible teaches this all the way back, even to the Old Testament. Even the Bible addresses the fact of, look, what kind of foundation are you laying in your life? Because, and I'm not a prophet of doom, but the storms are coming. I never cease to be amazed. I have a friend of mine who's a meteorologist, and he said quite candidly, Gary, forecasting the weather is not nearly as hard as it used to be. I said, why? He said, we got it on radar. We can see it coming. We can tell when the storm is going to hit. They determine when that tornado is going to strike. They see the storms coming, and they will. Now, if you'll allow me to use this personal illustration, I've been up since 5 o'clock. Now, normally when I get up 5 o'clock, Henry, I'm going fishing or I'm going hunting. No, I got a call this morning at 5 o'clock. One of the kids that I had the duty to prosecute about 10 years ago, raised by a good family, members of the church. Daddy's a preacher. And I had to prosecute the boy. Put him on probation, he didn't do too well. Put him on probation again, he didn't do too well. Sent him off to the Department of Youth Services, didn't do too well. He got out, he got grown. He left the juvenile system because we lost jurisdiction because of his age. And at 5 o'clock this morning, his daddy called me to tell me he had hanged himself. He's on life support as we speak. There is no brain activity. Mom and dad are going to have to make the decision of taking him off life support. Those are the storms. Now, how is that family going to survive that storm? The foundation. And that's why Jesus tells this parable about the foundation of your life. And I say again, over and over and over, that Jesus emphasizes that talk is cheap. That's the whole point of what he says in preceding verses of this parable. Not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord. It's not a matter of just recognizing that Jesus is Lord. The demons do that. Isn't that what James says? Isn't that what he says, Henry? That James teaches us the demons believe. And the Bible says they tremble. And so the storms are going to come. And you cannot camouflage the truth. Because when the storms come, the truth is going to be seen. Have you seen some of the news footage of places where a storm or a tornado has struck? And it occurred to me the other day, I was watching the news, and it showed the destruction of a storm, and it ripped the roof off. And you could see everything in that house. Well, guess what? That's kind of what happens to you and to me. When the storms of life strike, people around us see us as we really are. The roof is ripped off. The closet doors are open. And folks see what's in your home. And that's the very picture Jesus is trying to paint. That the truth is going to come out sooner or later. And that's why he begs you and he begs me to change the way we think and repent of those sins. Confess them as sinful before God. and have them washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Because there's no escaping that. And so if the house, if your home, if your life is not on that foundation, then it's going to fall. And great will the fall be. Now, I remember as a little child learning this song or learning about this parable as a little bitty boy. And I remember the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man that built his house on the sand. And my visual image of that when I was a kid was the beach. That's where the sand is, right? And who in their right mind would build a house on the beach? Well, and then I went down there. We'd go down there on vacation every now and then, and guess what? They build million-dollar houses on the beach. But I learned something about that. It, like so many other things, was the popular thing to do. If you wanted to move up in society, if you wanted to be accepted, if you wanted the accolades of your peers, right. But ultimately, something's going to happen. It invariably does. And so bottom line, heart of the message, don't miss this if you miss everything else. Does Jesus Christ live in your heart? In fact, the Apostle Paul teaches that when we're baptized into Christ, He comes to live, He comes to dwell in our hearts by faith, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And that's why the whole foundation, no pun intended, of what Jesus is saying is that He is Lord of our life. And what He's saying then and this morning is there really a foundation in your life that is eternal? Now there's the key. The foundation in your life that is eternal. Because there's nothing about this life that is. We used to sing an old song from the old song books. Words of which used to say, this earth will pass. Remember, Matt? And with it, common trifles. But God and I will go unendingly. The only thing about this life that is eternal is our relationship with God. Because everything else about this life is temporary. As much as we would like to think to the contrary, as much as we would like to think that what I've got I'm going to keep forever, as much as of all of the efforts that I've put in to making a living and acquiring all of these things, I'm going to keep them forever. And the reality is, everything you've ever worked for, everything you've ever dreamed of in a material way, is going to be burned to a cinder. That's the nature of this life. And what I say again, what Jesus is trying to do then and now is make us think about the eternal. To make us think about that which is genuine. I read a story years and years ago about a fella who was going through, he was in New York City on one of their many trains, and he got off the train, the Observer says, and he had a violin case in one hand and a bag in another. And the fella was just curious as he watched him walk into a shop. And the fella noticed on the bag it said Fritz Dreisler. Now, I don't believe he's from Lomax. I'm not familiar with that guy. but his name was on the back, and the observer recognized the name and ran over to the back room and got the clerk, said, "Quick, call the police. Call the police, quick. Somebody has stolen Fritz Dreisler's violin. And they're going to try to pawn it. They're going to try to sell it." And the guy actually went up to the clerk and said, "Yes, I'm Fritz Dreisler." And according to the article, the guy said, "Yeah, I'm Ben Franklin, and this is George Washington." "Yeah, we understand." He said, "No, I really am. Don't you have one of my records?" And the shop owner said, "Well, yes, matter of fact, I do." He said, "Well, play it." And again, it's a pawn shop type place, and so there's a phonograph there, and he put the record on it and started playing it, and the fella took the violin out and played right along with it. What's the point? The point was what he played matched what was recorded. Surely you see the application in your life and in mine. Does our performance match what's recorded? You say, "Preacher, I can't be perfect." That's not the point. Jesus offers perfection in what he did. And that's why we beg people to be in Christ. Because it's not within my ability, your ability, our ability to be perfect. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So what am I supposed to do about that? Jesus said, "I paid the price. I knew in advance what you were going to do. And I went to the cross anyway." You see, it's his performance, not mine. And that's why we get together on the first day of the week. And we sing and we pray and we remember his death and his burial, but most of all his resurrection. Because his resurrection gave validity to his death. That's 1 Corinthians 15. His resurrection gave validity to everything he said. And one of the things he said is, "You can't just call me Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father." See the connection there? Jesus says, it's not just me. "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Now, have you ever read the rest of that? "Many in that day will say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do many good and wondrous works in your name?" Time out. You ever thought about the fact that our salvation is not connected to how many good things we do? Has it ever occurred to you that I can't do enough good things? I said it a while ago, I'll say it again. I can't do enough good things. You can't do enough good things. We can't, in the aggregate, do enough good things to get to glory. That's not what salvation is all about. Salvation is about a foundation that's going to stand and withstand the storms. Salvation is about a foundation that tells me how to think and tells me how to live, not necessarily just in order to be saved, but because I am saved. See, there's where we part company with so many in the world today. They look at us in light of storms and wonder how in the world we survived them. They look at your life and mine in the midst of storms and think, how in the world did you get through them? And the reason is, my foundation was on what Jesus did for me. My foundation is what Jesus accomplished on the cross that was never within my ability to do. I say it again, it was never within my ability to do enough good things to forgive one little white lie. It was never in his plan. And it started in the Old Testament with animal sacrifices as a picture. They roll those sins forward every year. And there was a remembrance made of sin every year. That's Hebrews 9, 10, and 11. But when Jesus came into this world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And that's why we remembered that body just a moment ago. That's why that body is emblematic of his sacrifice. And that body is also emblematic of his church. And that's why he begs people to be a part of it, to be a part of his body, to have that foundation initially, to have that foundation presently, to have that foundation eternally. I love the analogy that the Bible gives of heaven itself. The Bible has reference to a place whose builder and maker is God. So aren't you tired? I'm trying to do this on your own. Aren't you tired of trying to build your house on your own? Aren't you tired of trying to get through the storms on your own? Isn't it time you turned your life over to God? That's why we beg people to do just what Jesus said, change the way you think. The word is repent. And then Jesus said, go public. You confess me before men. And when you do that, we'll bury that body in water. It's called baptism. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And maybe you've done that in your life and you're still struggling. The storms seem to last a lot longer than they used to. You seem to be more afraid in the storms than you used to. And you need the prayers of this church, and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you today, right now, while we stand, while we sing. Matt will lead us.
From the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
sing a couple of songs as we're preparing for the baptism. Let's turn to number 453. 453.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now saved am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Number 854.
Oh, how sweet 'twill be to meet the Lord when he comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be outpoured when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet, when he comes in the sky. What joy, when he comes in glory by and by. I am longing for that happy when he comes in glory by and by. For with him I hope to soar away when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet when he comes in the sky. What joy, when he comes in glory by and by.
Number
452. Number 452.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
With me, number 988, if you use the new songbook, sing the first stanza of this and we'll be dismissed in prayer. I encourage everybody to come down front and congratulate him, our new brother. 988.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.